You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. I meant to say something about the hymn before we sang it there. We'll finish it up after the sermon. But that hymn, really what it's doing is it's taking away every excuse that we have for not telling other people about Jesus. So you'll see in today's gospel reading that the man who is healed, he doesn't know much about Jesus, but over and over again, he is telling other people about what he did for him. May God encourage us in the very same ways. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I invite you to participate with me here for a moment. So I want you to close your eyes, close them tightly, and keep them closed until I tell you to open them. Now with your eyes closed, you can imagine, you can understand what it would be like to be physically blind. Now I want to lay a choice before you. Imagine if you had to choose between physical blindness, not being able to see anything, or spiritual blindness, not being able to see the horrible reality of sin or the good news of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. If you had to choose, which one would you choose? Physical blindness or spiritual blindness? Okay, let's open our eyes. So isn't that a most difficult decision? Thank God that we don't have to make that decision. Thank God that he has blessed us with physical sight. Thank God that he has given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Thus, he has given us spiritual sight. We are so, so very blessed. When we think about physical blindness, it's not pleasant, but it's only temporary. When we think about spiritual blindness, much, much worse, because that means we don't know Jesus, and that means that we will be in torment forever and ever. So again, we are so very blessed. Today we're in John chapter 9, where Jesus heals a man who was born blind. It's a long text, so I'm going to read through it, make some comments as we go. I'll try to keep my comments somewhat brief. Going to verse 1, the Bible says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents that resulted in his blindness, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of God the Father who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.'" Thinking about Jesus' statement there about being the light of the world, if you go back to John chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus is the true light which came into the world to lighten everyone. So he came for that purpose, that everyone could spiritually see and everyone could be saved. That's why he came. So what did he do? He came, he lived, he suffered, he dies, he rose, he ascended. He did all that work. He said, "While I am here, I am the light." But now he has gone back to be with the Father. So now who is the light? We are the light. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." So how is it that we reflect the light of Jesus? We have to know him. We have to be in relationship with him in order to be able to rightly reflect that light. So it's important that we are in relationship with him, that we are saved, that we grow up in him, so we better know how then to reflect that light. So by reading meditations each day, by spending time in the Word of God, then we'll know more and more how to legitimately reflect the light of Jesus Christ. But there's also a great danger that comes because sometimes people are going around saying, I am a Christian. I am a believer in Jesus, but they really don't know much about what the Bible says, and the way that they're functioning in life is actually not in agreement with the Bible. But what happens though? The people who hear them saying, I am a Christian, they don't know what the Bible says either, so they hear them saying that, and then the person assumes, oh, I see how this guy is living. That must be what it means to be a Christian, because he says he is one, and that's how he lives. For example, over in Africa, they have American television coming into some places in Africa. So what do the Muslims do? The Muslims will say to people, look at what's on that television. Look at all the immorality. Look at all the violence. That's what Christians do. That's what Christianity is about. That's coming from America. They say they are a Christian nation. That's what Christianity is about. So then the people are like, oh, I don't want to be a part of all that. I think I'll become a Muslim then. So it's giving this false impression about what it means to be a Christian, and it's really a horrible thing. We have to be careful that we're somehow not doing the same thing by improperly reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. How do we do it right? Get into the Word. The text goes on and says, having said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Try to imagine what was going on with that man. So the Bible tells us that he's never been able to see from birth. So that means he's never been able to see anything. He doesn't even know what a person looks like. He's never been able to look up and see the sky. He's never seen a tree. He's never seen an animal. He doesn't know about any of these things. Now, for people who have sight and they go blind, in their memory, they have all these realities about what they have seen. This man has never seen anything. And then Jesus comes up to him. And we don't know all the details here, but did Jesus explain what he was going to do? Or did he just come up to the man, and all of a sudden, the man feels mud being put on his eyes, and did he jump back from that thinking, what's going on? But somehow, though, he permitted Jesus to put on the mud, and when Jesus said to go wash, maybe it didn't make any sense to him, but he did what Jesus said, and he went and washed. And the reality is that God gave him the gift of physical sight. So the man didn't know much about Jesus. The man actually, not to this point, has ever even laid eyes on Jesus. But yet the man knew what Jesus did. So what did the man do? He told what Jesus did for him. That's one theme I want to impress upon you today, is that the man didn't know much, but he did what he told. So what about us? Has God worked in our lives? He has. So what is important then is that we would tell others what God has done for us. Let's go on to verse 13. The neighbors and others brought to the Pharisees a man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." What about the Pharisees? They didn't care that an amazing miracle had been done. All they cared about was trying to figure out a way to discredit Jesus. So even though something amazing had happened, what are they focused on? They're focused on the fact that he did it on a Sabbath. Now, there are other places in the Bible that tell us that that is not wrong, but in their minds it was wrong, and that was the one issue that made the whole difference to them. Again, with the man who had had his sight given to him, what did he do? He simply kept telling what Jesus did. He made mud, he told me to go wash, I washed, and now I see. So the man's kind of like a broken record, but he kept telling about the work of God in his life. I believe that God has worked in each one of our lives. God wants us to think about that. He wants us to be thankful for that. He wants us to be amazed about that, and he wants us to tell others the work that he has done. Not complicated, not technical, just in a very simple way, what has he done? I could go up and say to someone, "I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but God worked in my life and God sent his son and he lived for me and he died for me and through Jesus I'm going to heaven. That's what God has done for me. He showed me the bad news, he gave me the good news, and now I'm blessed forever." We all know that kind of stuff. Picking up in verse 18, it says, "The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, 'Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?' His parents answered, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself.'" Notice there in parenthesis what the Bible says. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." What is the problem with the man's parents? They feared the religious leaders more than they feared the Almighty God. Is that ever a good thing? By no means is it good. What about us? Who do we fear? Or maybe I should say, what do we fear? Are we afraid of someone rejecting the message that we share? Are we afraid that they may bodily harm us for the message that we share? What other things have we dreamed up that we are fearful of? I'm sure we all have fears. I have my own. We're all fearful of different things. But is that ever a good thing, though? Think about what Jesus said about God the Father in Matthew chapter 10. He said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So we want to get this right. We want to put things in a proper order. If we're fearing what a person might think up here, and we're fearing God down here, that's not a good thing. We're letting the fear of man overcome our relationship with God. Never good. We want to have it this way, so that we are rightly fearing the Almighty God. And then we can fearlessly tell others what God has done in our lives. Verse 24, "So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. we know that this man, in other words, this Jesus, is a sinner. He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him. What does that mean? To revile someone is to use abusive language. So they spoke to him in a harsh way. They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out of the synagogue. So they were having the same problem that Jesus' disciples did earlier. Remember, they saw the man born blind and said, "Is it because of his sin or the sins of his parents?" Here are the leaders thinking the same thing, and yet all of them are wrong. Jesus gave the answer earlier. He said, "This man was born this way in order that God would be glorified." Did you notice what the leaders said? They said, "We follow Moses." But what did Moses say, though? Moses said something very important to the people in the book of Deuteronomy shortly before he died and they passed over into the promised land. He said to them, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. It is to him you shall listen." So if these leaders were really following Moses, they would know that there is this great prophet to come, and if they would have looked into it carefully, they would have understood that Jesus Christ is this great prophet, and it's important that everyone listens to him. Did you catch what the healed man said? "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." So we want God to hear our prayers. God hears the ones who know Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear that those who reject him reject also God the Father who sent him. It's a package deal. So it's impossible to reject one and yet still have the other. How many people say, "Oh, I don't know about that Jesus, but I believe in God"? Well, if they say that, they are flat out rejecting Jesus Christ, and they are also rejecting God the Father who sent his son Jesus to be our Savior. Let's understand that rightly. Let's be thankful that God has opened our eyes to the truth to see these things. Again, in this situation, we see that the man who was healed, he simply continues to tell what he knew about Jesus. He doesn't let anything deter him. So he told what happened. He was kicked out of the synagogue. It's like, okay, he's okay with that. Why? Because he knows the Almighty God. He has his sight back, and he's willing to be bold in telling what this Jesus did for him. Think about us. Why should we be bold? We were on a fast track to hell, and now by God's grace, we're on the way to heaven, so that should embolden us to want to tell others about this good news. Finally, the text says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Think about it, how things progressed. Up to that point, this man had never actually laid eyes on Jesus. And then Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. So what is he talking about there at the end? He said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. Remember how in the Bible oftentimes Jesus was working with the sinners and the tax collectors? Those were people who could not see, and they knew they could not see. They knew they were living in sin. They knew they were in trouble with God. So Jesus came in order to be kind to them, to give them the good news about who he is and what he would soon do to take away the sin of the world. So he came in order to give them the gift of spiritual life. I think that's the easier one. But then he said he also came that those who see may become blind. What's that talking about? That those who see may become blind. I think what he's talking about there, he's talking about people like the religious leaders. They thought they had spiritual sight. Here they are, not only very religious, but they are the leaders. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They thought they had it all figured out. But the problem is, in reality, they were spiritually blind and they were spiritually dead. The problem is, they thought they could see, but they thought wrongly. What did Jesus want to do for them? He wanted to show them that they were actually spiritually blind, and as soon as he showed them that, then he would make them spiritually alive. We think, for example, about Jesus dying on the cross and the two men who came and took him down and put him in the tomb. That was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two men who were religious leaders who had been blind, and yet, by the grace of God, he opened their eyes to the truth. He gave them the gift of spiritual life, and now they're so bold, even though so many were against Jesus, shouting, Crucify! They were so bold that they would get permission from Pilate, they would go to the cross, they would receive his body from the cross, they would carry his naked, beaten, crucified body, they would carry it all the way to the tomb and place it there, and they would do that out of devotion to the one who gave his life in order that they could have life forever and ever. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he wants to do with everyone. Some people know they're in trouble, and they're ready to hear the gospel. Other people, they think they're okay, but they wrongly think they're okay, so they need to hear some really bad news. If you want to read some really bad news, read Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus goes through the seven woes to the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. It is a really tough section. He's just giving them, just with such clarity, reason upon reason upon reason why these guys are dead. Maybe even Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, maybe they were there when Jesus said that. And maybe God used that to show them that they were in fact blind. We're not quite sure exactly how God worked it out, but somehow, some way, he showed those men the true reality of their situation, and then he gave them the gift of faith. He saved them forever and ever, and that showed in their lives. God has opened our eyes. He's shown us that we are poor, miserable sinners. He has given us the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, by which we have eternal life. Let us know how bad it was. Let us rejoice in how good it is. And then let's go forward to fearlessly tell others the wonderful, amazing work that God has done in our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, all of us were at one time spiritually blind, spiritually dead. But now, by grace through faith, You have given us spiritual eyes to see. You have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. You have saved us. Now we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and move us to go forward, that we would fearlessly tell others about your amazing work in our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.